Let's get corrupted. What is going on, everybody? It's your boy Joe with Meteoric Serpents coming back at you for another episode of the Colubrid Corruption Podcast. Guys, episode number 52, which means I've done a year's worth of podcasts. I know the show's been going for a bit longer than that, but episode number 52 is a pretty cool milestone. Hope everyone's doing great. I think we have a great episode in store. I think it's the first time Mr. Jason Keller is gracing a podcast with his presence, so we're gonna get right to that shortly. I know you guys are all excited for this, but before we get into all that, the usual shenanigans. One, if you like the show, make sure you hit subscribe on the YouTube channel. That always helps out. Make sure you leave a like on today's podcast, of course. Share this out with friends, other Colubrid enthusiasts. Also, you can listen to this on all the major audio podcasting platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, you name it. It's on a bunch, so go check it out where you can. And if you listen on those podcasting platforms, make sure you leave a 5-star review. That really helps out the show. Again, help share it out to more people. Leaving those reviews will put it in more people's algorithms also. So that always helps out. You could also follow me on all my social media platforms down below. It's pretty much at Meteoric Serpents everywhere. Just search that. You could search Meteoric Serpents. You could search Colubrid Corruption. You're going to find my stuff on pretty much every platform. So, yeah, go check that out. US Arc Florida, those are the organizations that fight for our rights to keep our reptiles, whether it's as a business, whether it's a hobby for you. They're the ones fighting against legislation that may take away the right to keep some of these species that we love to keep. So we want to make sure we prevent that. Go support them today. Also, first link in the description below goes to the Meteoric Serpents Patreon. One, it's a way of saying thanks for the show. Those start as low as $5, but it also puts you in a group chat, a Discord community with a bunch of other fellow Colubrid enthusiasts, and I appreciate their support very much. So if you want to consider joining that, go ahead. Definitely some of those Patreon funds are going towards me putting on a live show at Colubrid Fest this year, which I'm about to talk about. But definitely want to make that happen for the people, bring it to you guys live. And speaking of Colubrid Fest, we have our sponsor. The show is brought to you by the Show Me Reptiles Show and the Show Me Marketplace. Show Me Reptiles, whether you're a vendor or a reptile show attendee, Show Me Reptiles Shows is the place to go. They throw shows all over the country. You could go check them out. There pretty much is one every weekend somewhere around the country. So definitely go check it out on their website. And then you could also join their new platform, the Show Me Marketplace, which is a new way for you to buy and sell your reptiles. And for any potential, sellers that want to post their animals on there, you could use the Show Me Marketplace code corruption-50 to get 50% off your first year's membership. That's corruption-50. It's on your screen right now if you're watching the show. Go consider joining that today. Let's see. Of course, I forget the Colubrid of the week, as usual. And I'm going to go find that. But while I'm doing that, we're going to talk about Colubrid Fest, guys, because Colubrid Fest did officially get announced this week, the official dates, the location, all that good stuff, September 12th to 14th at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I am super excited. I was waiting for that announcement. They pretty much announced that it was going to be at the Fort Wayne location, and I thought it was a great idea. Honestly, it seems more convenient for both vendors and attendees, pretty much everyone involved in both cost and parking and all that good stuff. I'm super excited. I already booked myself a table, and I will be there with Kevin from Offspring Reptiles. We're going to have a big Texas rap palooza, powwow, whatever you want to call it. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And I hope to see a lot more of you there than I did last year. Let's see. Yeah, September 12th to 14th, it's going to be the same setup as, you know, last year. It's going to be the vendor setup and mixer. And then on the 12th, the mixer is Friday night. Then it's going to be the speaker panels and the auction on the Saturday, the 13th. And then the 14th, which is Sunday, is going to be the Clearbird Only Expo. So yeah, truly, truly excited. Clearbird Fest 2025. I promised I will be promoting the shit out of it. But yeah, obviously thrown on by the sponsor of the show, Show Me Reptiles, and the guys over at CCR. So yeah. I think we lost our guest. I think Keller has been having internet troubles, but we're going to wait for him to join back. In the meantime, the hashtag Kluber Corruption of the Week. I've said it before, I've said it again. I hope I didn't pick this one before. It's my buddy Brock from Morphinary Arts. Go follow him on Instagram. He's getting into some cool colubrids, which includes the African file snakes, the cross eye, super cool animal. And yeah, just looks great. Guys, make sure you're using hashtag colubrid corruption on all of your colubrid photos if you want to get featured. All right, Keller got kicked out. He's trying to join back. But yeah, hashtag Colubrid Corruption on your Colubrid photos if you want to get featured. Little weekly shout out to the picture I like the most, pretty much. But yeah. All right. I think he's back. Quick, what's up to the chat before we bring him on? Got Villarino Reptiles, Emilio, what is going on? Got Sky, who's got his popcorn ready. We got Chris Painshab, who also has his popcorn ready. John, what's up, man? How are you? Harry is also here waiting. It was a good run, all 52 episodes. Hail Satan, he is Mothman. All right, well, that's a perfect way to introduce our guest tonight. We have Mr. Jason Keller. What's going on, man?
What's happening?
What's going on? Yeah, well, one, thank you for coming on.
How's everybody doing?
Yeah. I know this is like your first podcast appearance. yeah, he does have the goat down there saying it loud and proud. But yeah, no, I appreciate you coming on. And I know, you know, we met at Daytona. We definitely had a fun little night there hanging out by the gazebo. But we had a good conversation. We were talking about a bunch of stuff. I got to know you a little bit. You got to know me. It was a good time. But I could tell you're very passionate about your animals, you know, from our interaction there and just social media interactions and you tuning into all the shows and stuff. But yeah, for anyone who doesn't know really who you are, can you kind of give your background into reptiles and how that kind of segued into where you are today?
Well, according to my mom, as soon as I would like crawl around and do whatever, I was, you know, catching bugs, you know, roly-polies and frogs and crap like that or whatever. So ever since I was able to move around, I've had an interest with little weird animals. And then I got my first snake when I was like 8 years old, I believe. It was some kind of garter snake or a ribbon snake or something like that. And then pretty much been off to the races since then. You know, I've had, you know, which, you know, that was, you know, back 1988 or 89. So the information on reptiles back then was very limited. So all the stuff that I had growing up through about, you know, the 90s and early 2000s, unfortunately did not do very well because, you know, I'm old enough to have been alive before the internet and all that shit. Yeah. So, but like, you know, I had, like I said, I had that, you know, somewhere I had a green iguana, which was not a good idea for a young child to have. Then, you know, when I was like 16, 15, stuff like that or whatever, I had a, you know, pretty, you know, small collection compared to what I have now. But, you know, I had, you know, a ball python, a boa constrictor, you know, some kind of day gecko, a bearded dragon, you know, some other little odds and ends. You know, I had a group of emperor scorpions, which I accidentally bred those when I was a kid because, you know, I just had a bunch of them together and they did their business and all that. And then, you know, probably when I was about 17, 18, 19, you know, I got rid of most of the stuff that I had because I was worried about other stuff. And then, you know, probably about 2005, I got into a job that I was working in the, I was working the middle shift. So 2:45 in the afternoon to like 11, 12, 1 or 2 o'clock at night. So I was like, well, you know, I ain't going to have no social life. Let me, you know, get some, you know, get back to, you know, screwing around with animals. And so then, yeah, I started out actually with, you know, the first one I got was a Dumeril's monitor. So I had this Dumeril's monitor, and then I got into a whole bunch of tarantulas. And then, like 2006, 2007, I started focusing back on snakes and been doing that pretty much ever since.
Awesome, man. And what were the species that really, like, enamored you to get back into the snakes? Because you started off with a monitor, which is usually not the thing to get someone started with the collection again. But what were some of those species, some of those snake species, at least, that were getting you back into it?
Well, like I said, I got the monitor. I got a whole bunch of tarantulas and, you know, the pet store, the local pet store, you know, they kind of got, you know, because I was in there, you know, every week buying, you know, crickets and, you know, stuff like that. And then I wound up, you know, I had a bunch of stuff that was given to me in the room back here behind this one. There's a ball python back there that's probably somewhere between 25 and 30 years old, maybe even older than that. I've had it for over 20 years now, and I'd have to go back and, you know, find the original owner and, you know, see how long he had it and how big it was when he got it, but it's old. And then, you know, like I said, I had some stuff that was given to me, some, you know, red-tailed boas, some pythons and crap like that. But then I got real interested in venomous snakes, you know, after watching, you know, Viper Keeper and stuff like that or whatever. And, you know, got real interested in venomous snakes. Like, oh, you can actually keep these, you know, you can do this, blah, blah, blah. And just so happens at the, you know, the local pet store, you know, all the, you know, the employees knew me real well, and, you know, they'd be talking to me and stuff like that. And I had made a mention to, you know, the girl that worked there that, you know, I wanted to start getting into some venomous snakes. And, you know, I said something about, you know, wanting a pygmy rattlesnake. And then, like, a week or two later, she was like, hey, you know, this other guy that comes in here all the time has a pygmy rattlesnake he's trying to sell. You know, and I was like, oh, shit, for real? And he was like, she was like, yeah, it's like, yeah, let me get you his number or whatever. And so, you know, at that point, it was like, well, I guess this is fate. You know, I wanted one of these, and now here's some guy that, you know, lives relatively close that has one, and he's selling the snake in a 2-foot neodesha cage for $50, and this was a big female, you know, dusky pygmy. She was like, you know, 18, 19, 20 inches long, you know, could eat a, you know, full grown adult mouse. So I was like, let's make it happen. You know, so I bought that, you know, and not necessarily the wisest thing to do because I didn't really have tools or any shit like that. You know, we just made some stuff work or whatever. And so then I started doing that, and then I got some, so I got that one, and then, you know, started getting, you know, more snakes. So I had like some, you know, wound up getting some Honduran milk snakes, which I still have one of those, and I've had that thing for, you know, that thing is probably between 20 and 30 years old because I've had it close to 20 years now. And it was, I believe he told me they were 4 or 5 years old when I got them. And then, like I said, just as time has went on, there's always been stuff that comes in, comes out, comes in, comes out. It just depends on what I feel like I can make work over here and the way I want to keep stuff.
Nice. Yeah, I see, you know, from your Instagram, just looking around, I feel like there's some, I'd say, hobby staples, and then there's a mix of some other stuff as well. You know, I saw some good old Texas rats on there. As everyone knows, those are my favorite. I'm very partial to those. Saw some Barons racers as well. I'd say those are a bit of a jump into the unique, you know, some Cow Kings and stuff like that. So, and then you got your mix of, you know, I see some Scorpions and then the Venomous stuff. So yeah, you've built up a real nice collection over the years.
Yeah. Barons racers are, they're some of my favorites. They are, they're superior to rhino rats. Let's go on and get that out of the way. I've got Barons. I've got an adult pair of Barons. I've got a couple of holdbacks from year before last year that I'm growing up. You know, those are just really fun. I mean, you know, you can't beat a bright green snake with a unicorn. And then, like, my female specifically, you know, my adult female, I'm guessing she's got some blue lineage in her because she has, like, more of a mint green to her, but she also has a whole bunch of black on her. And those are really great snakes. The babies are pains in the ass to get started. But, you know, the babies are pains in the ass to get started, but they're, you know, once you get them eating pinkies, especially once you get them eating off of tongs, they'll eat anything you throw in front of them.
Gotcha.
Those are some of my favorites. Say what? The diadem rat snake. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what makes the baby Barani hard to get started? Is it just how small they are, or, you know, not wanting to take food willingly, or what is it?
Yeah, they just, there's a mixture in the clutch. Some of them will start out, you know, just immediately start taking frozen thawed mice, you know, no problem. Other ones, they just don't want anything to do with mice, and you have to, you know, either send them or trick them to eat some lizards or stuff like that or whatever. So it's just, like I said, they can just be problematic. And it's not they're small. That the babies actually come out big as hell. Yeah, they come out able to eat, like, you know, large pinkies, small fuzzies. It's just they don't want to.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that sure makes it hard. Here's a nice little look at some baby Barons. Very nice. And I see you're going to use this guy. Did you work with Sky on pairing this guy?
Or we weren't able to make that happen that year. Unfortunately, gotcha. I was going through a divorce when we had originally started planning on that, and I wasn't able to send her down there. We're going to come back to it at some point.
Nice. Okay.
But like, if you know that one that one Barron's that Skyler has that looks like a that looks like Mountain Dew or acid, that yellow green color, that one's from me.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's a nice one, man. That one's super nice.
But yeah, you see how her whole belly is black and see how she's got black wrapped around all her scales.
Yup.
Yeah, me and Skylar, we have dreams of making an all-black Barron's. Yeah, that's one of my holdbacks.
Yeah, that's another one that's definitely lending into that yellowish tint.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure why that pair throws stuff that starts looking like that, because, I mean, the male, he kind of has that look, but not as bright as that one does. But I don't know. There's still a whole bunch to be figured out with the genetics in that species.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to see what, you know, you guys do over the next few years. After talking to Sky and some other people on here working with the Barons, I'm definitely looking forward to see what, you know, what comes about when it comes to Barons genetics. I think it's super interesting. I don't think I'll keep them. I'm a rhino guy, but I do think they're very cool. I can definitely appreciate what you guys are working with.
You need to make the switch. We're gonna get you on it.
All right. So besides the Barons, I know you're working pretty heavily with California King Snakes. And, you know, I've said it on here before. Cal Kings are some of my favorites because those were some of the first snakes I ever bred at my pet store job. So I always have a soft spot for Cal Kings. I even have a pair here just because I like them. And I know Cal Kings, you know, they kind of come a dime a dozen, but yeah, I just think they're super cool snakes. They're fun. That's all there is to it. They're fun.
Yeah, they're fun. They're easy. You know, they're manageable. You know, they don't get huge. You know, they're pretty. It's just a solid staple for the hobby. And it's like, you know, that the trio that I have, they throw a whole bunch of weird crap, you know, out of the two clutches I got this year, because one, you know, the male is a striped albino, and then I have a feet or striped albino, I think, whatever, Newport, however you want to say it, you know, and then one of the females is a striped albino, Newport, whatever, and then the other female is a lavender albino with the Newport in it. So the two clutches that I got this year, there's normal albinos, striped albinos, spotted albinos, and then the, you know, quote unquote normals are both double het for lavender albino, regular albino, and there's, you know, striped black and white ones. There's one that's polka dotted like a Dalmatian, you know, all kinds of weird stuff. And it's like, how can you not like that? You know,
yeah.
It's the Kings.
Yeah. I like Getchla. It's all good.
The speckled king snake is the superior king snake. I don't care what anybody else says. Speckled kings all day, every day.
All right. You heard it here first. And then I see with the Texas rats, you have just kind of like a leucistic project there. You're just breeding, what is it? Is it like Mineral Wells line, or is it just, you know, just making some nice all white Texas rats?
Yeah, no, I have no idea. There ain't no lineage on them. They're just leucistic. That's okay. So basically, my now ex-wife wanted a leucistic Texas rat snake. So she got one day, and, you know, ain't nothing going to live here without working. You know, unless it's just something that I know the babies are going to be too much of a pain in the ass to get started. So I was like, well, you know, I think, yeah, she got a male. So I was like, well, we need to get a female. you know. And, you know, so nice. Now that, you know, she's gone, but both of the Texas Rats are here.
So okay.
They'll be here. They're fun. I like Texas Rats. They're fun little snakes. I do want to get some more I would like to get some more wild type or that cadmium.
I might be able to help you out with that this year.
Into what I have, because those are cool. Are you planning on pairing yours this year?
Yeah, I have a pair of cadmium. You know, it's weird because the pair is going on like 4 years old, but I feel like the female isn't like huge, but she's bigger than some, you know, corn snakes I've seen people, you know, put through their first breeding season. So I'm like, I think she'll be good. I'm going to start. I'm actually, yeah. I think, it's starting to get a little bit warmer around here. So I think it's time to start feeding these guys again. So I'm going to get some real good calories on all of them, hopefully beef up that size, and we'll see what happens. I'm going to pair my male, but it's a, you know, I have a pair of cadmium, so hopefully we get some good stuff there.
Like how long, like what size meals are you feeding her?
Right now, you know, I'm about to start feeding them again, but I'll start out with a couple small meals and then bump up to like, you know, larger size mice and maybe some rats thrown in there.
She's ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
She'll go. If you pair them up, she'll go.
Yeah. I think so. But yeah.
That's a pretty slate. Academy of Texas Rats for sure.
Yeah, you know, I brought a male just for show to Colubrid Fest, and that was one that a lot of people stopped for. Besides some of the scaler stuff I brought, a lot of people was making stops at that male cadmium because it's just so nice, man. It's a very nice kind of trait slash mutation. I'm still not 100% sure on exactly if it's like a recessive or if it's just line bred type of deal, but I'm going to work with it and find out.
Yeah, you get some babies, holler at me.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. And then let's see here. You know, let's talk about some of the venomous stuff because, you know, I just had Phil on. I actually have another guest next week that's going to focus a little bit on venomous stuff as well. It seems like I'm going through a list of venomous keepers, which is cool. I really enjoy learning about them. What is it that you're into? Cause I know you're really into your native animals. Like, you know, native to North America, which is cool. Cause I saw a clutch of, I believe you posted, or a litter, I should say, of Eastern Diamondbacks.
Yeah, that's old. That's from a while. I don't currently have any Eastern Diamondbacks at the moment. But, yes, I did used to keep I had a het for albino male and an albino female.
Very nice.
Like a bunch of the South. You know, southeastern. But you know, eastern diamondbacks are fun.
Wait, hold on, Keller. It's lagging real bad.
There. Handful.
Oh no. Hold on, Keller, try leaving and joining back. Cause it's bad. Chat, what are you guys seeing right now? Was it skipping a lot for you? Or is it just me? I hope it's not just me.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Keller, try leaving again and then clicking the link again. It's just lagging real bad. See if he could join back. My bad, guys. Internet troubles happen sometimes. It's all good. We work through it. How are you all doing on this this fine weekend? I get the nice day. Excuse me, off from work tomorrow. I'm excited about that. Get some extra sleep. Bless up for that. 4-day work week. That's always great. But yeah, I was kind of mentioning it, but yeah, it's getting warm down here in Florida. So I think it's time to get everything back on food. But yeah, which I'm cool with. I think I got the time out of it that I wanted to. I stopped feeding the animals back in October, like mid to late October, probably around Halloween-ish. Then, you know, let them cool from November to now. We definitely had some cold times, especially the last, you know, within the last month or so, we had quite a few cold days. You know, mornings at like 50, which for Boca Raton is pretty cold. I know maybe not for you Northerners, but for Boca, 50 is cold. All right. How about that? Can you hear me?
We're back again.
I think.
Lagging again.
I think you're good now. You know what you could try doing? Try down at the on your bottom tab. On your bottom tab, hit the stop camera. I know. I want to see you on here and for the people listening, but that actually might stop the lagging a little bit if you turn off the camera. All right. How's that? I think you're good. All right.
How about now?
Yes. Definitely good.
Okay.
All right. So I'm sorry. We were talking about the Eastern Diamondbacks, and that's when it started getting all wonky with the mic. If you want to say what you were saying again.
Yeah. Anyway, I had a pair of Eastern Diamondbacks. You know, one was het for albino. The other was albino. I got them to breed a few times. I love Eastern Diamondbacks. They're that's a big ass rattlesnake. It's a dangerous rattlesnake, but they're fun. I don't currently have any right now. My buddy may be producing some this year. If that's the case, I might get another pair back from him because he's got some babies. I think he's got 1 point. I think he's got 1.1 het for albino and 1 point albino. I don't know if he's paired them up or not. I got to ask him.
Nice.
But yeah, I've got those. I've got a Eastern cottonmouth. I've got a big old Southern Copperhead, which I need to find him a female. He's just so big. I mean, he might try to eat one. And then I do really want to put together I'm going to put together a group of dusky pygmies and red pygmies. Because I've always loved pygmy rattlesnakes. Those are cool. You know, I've got that one pygmy rattlesnake I've shared on my Instagram a few times, and that thing is just a smoke show of a snake. And, you know, unfortunately, I was supposed to, because my buddy collected that over there where he lives. And he had a male to go with it, but the male didn't survive brumation. Okay. So I just have that female, but I'm going to go out, you know, his way some point this year and hopefully collect a few. And then, like that, I want to get me some reds. There's a locality of reds not too far from where I live. Well, not close, but not far from where I live. And those, nice. They have more of a maroon color to them, maroon red, you know, reddish purple or whatever, and they get bigger than, you know, some of the other localities. So I do been wanting to put it together, been trying to put together a group of those, but my same buddy who told me about them, when he gave me the place to go look for me, he gave me the wrong road to be cruising. So for about 2 years, I was cruising up and down the road that I'm supposed to take to get to the road where the snakes hang out at. And when he told me that he gave me the wrong place, if I'd have been close to him, I probably would have slapped him. You know, 2 years of driving up and down this one road, and he's like, oh, that's not the right road. You know, that's, you take that road to get there. Oh man. Stupid son of a bitch. I'm glad you decided to tell me now.
Yep. No, but I don't know if you could see the screens I'm pulling up, but yeah, I really like the pygmy rattlesnakes out of a lot of them. I just really think the color and the pattern is cool, and especially when you look at this one closely, and I hope you all can see very well, just the really cool, you know, dorsal like circles here, and with that super sharp pinkish red line going down it, is just, it's very cool. And it's obviously not something you get in your, I'll call them your typical like colubrids, you know. The venomous does just have some cool stuff that you don't see on your average snake, you know, between colors and patterns.
Yeah, the venomous stuff is kind of like, you know, being both vipers, you know, vipers and pythons kind of feel the same niche as what, you know, ambush predators. They kind of sit around and just be fat and wait on a meal to walk in front of them. But if I'm going to have something that's just going to sit there and not do anything, I want it to look extra cool, you know.
Right. You
do all the paint jobs and stuff like that that ball pythons have, you know. Yeah, you can put a Corvette paint job on a Chevy Cavalier, but at the end of the day, it's still a Chevy Cavalier. You
know? Good point. Good point. Yeah. What else is it? Like, what other species within the venomous stuff are really, you know, piquing your focus?
So the pygmies are the main thing that I really want to jump into, that I really want to put a lot of effort into.
Okay.
You know, there are some tree vipers that I wouldn't mind working with. I like Echis, but, you know, that's also a extremely dangerous snake. And the diadem rat snakes are basically the poor man's version of an Echis, so that's why I have those.
Gotcha.
You know, that's what diadem rat snakes are trying to mimic. They kind of, you know, inhabit the same environments, and you know, they do the whole, you know, they flatten their head out and hiss to try to sound like when Echis are doing the saw scaling and stuff like that. Gotcha. So that's why I have a, I've got a pretty decent group of those. They all suck though, but maybe I'll get some eggs out of them this year.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I tried last year to breed them, but I didn't actually do any like cycling stuff with them. I just noticed that the male had stopped eating regularly, and it's like, he might be wanting to breed. So I threw him in with one of the females, and they we're hanging out all the time, but like I said, I didn't do anything. So this year I am actually giving them a light cooling.
Nice. Yeah, the diadems are a bit of a, you know, rarer species in the hobby. You really don't see them a whole lot. I wonder why, but I definitely wish you success in that. Hopefully you do get some eggs.
People don't keep them because they suck. They'll bite the shit out of you.
Okay.
They're labeled as rear fanged.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, they're labeled as rear fanged. You know, I guess they have a Duvernoy's gland and, you know, enlarged back teeth. They've chewed on me plenty of times. I haven't had any kind of reaction or whatever, but, you know, they are very bitey. They're a very bitey snake, and they're imported by the hundreds, if not thousands, from and stuff like that. So nobody over here in the United States has really put any effort into breeding them that I'm aware of. You know, I've looked up, trying to find out, and I guess there's some, like, you know, European keepers and stuff like that. But like I said, you know, as far as I can tell, nobody over here really cares to breed them. It's probably because, you know, they get shipped in by the thousands from Egypt, so they're $75, $100 dirt snakes. But
right,
that's a really fun snake. You know, they're always, you know, mine are all, you know, as soon as I walk into the main snake room where they're at, you know, you start hearing them hissing, you know, okay, hissing and doing all that crap or whatever. And, you know, like they try to, like I said, they try to mimic soft-scaled vipers, so they try to do that. You know, they move their bodies around like soft-scaled vipers, but they don't, you know, they're not actually, you know, soft-scaled. They hiss real loud, and like I said, they'll bite the shit out of you. Yeah, I've been chewed on by, out of the five that I have, every one of them has chewed on me for several minutes at a time. I haven't had anything, I haven't had any kind of reaction, but like I said, they're supposedly, you know, rear fang venomous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I wonder if, people have done more research into that, because I happened to see a case this week of someone who I believe got bit by a boega, and this person's had a very bad reaction. I don't know. I just feel like some of the rear fang stuff, not that you don't, or not that I'm trying to like bring light to this. I wish people, I don't want to say took them more seriously, but like, you know, gave them a greater air of caution, because for certain people, if you have the wrong reaction, they could definitely F you up and make you have a bad day.
Yeah. Well, you know, Harry Claiborne got bit by a garter snake last summer, and he had a pretty noticeable reaction to a garter snake. Yes. I was going to send him some bearings, but after seeing that, I was like, maybe you shouldn't, because apparently you're allergic to being alive, so you don't get any of that.
Yeah.
So I've been bitten by several rear fanged snakes. I haven't had any reaction.
Okay.
But I haven't, like, you know, the Egyptian false cobras, I don't even give them the opportunity to bite me.
Right.
I don't know if they
can. I've heard those are nasty.
That's what I've heard too. Bites are,
yeah.
But they can't really open their mouth all that wide, so I'm not sure they could get anywhere where they could get their back fangs on me, because me being a fat ass, that Sam Ophis that I posted the other day, those are supposed to be pretty gnarly if you get bit by them. I won't give that one the opportunity to, but it had, like, if you Google Sam Ophis teeth, they have some really weird dentition. So even if they didn't invent it, I'm not sure the bite would feel exceptionally good, because they have it's like they have like two sets of enlarged teeth. They have the back fangs, and then there's like another set of enlarged teeth in the middle of their mouth.
I'm going to try to pull this up. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you see, or sorry, I went away. The comment that was on the screen, do you work with crowned leaf nose snakes from Egypt?
I haven't, but they do interest me.
Nice. But yeah, no, it's going back to the, what's it called? The, the false cobras, the Egyptian false cobras. I remember having both April and Kayla on here say, like, no, I will not mess with those. Like, those will ruin your day. They take very good precautions on those snakes to not get bit. So, yeah.
Yeah, you look at those teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, my Egyptian false cobras, yeah, they don't like me. Don't want me being in there. They make it a that, you know, if I'm in the room while they're out and about, you know, they start hooding and doing all the threat displays and stuff like that. And so, like I said, I talked to the house snake morph girl. What's her name?
Yeah, April. That was April. That's who I was just talking about. Yeah.
I talked to her at Daytona when I got mine, and she told me about getting bit by one and how it, you know, fucked her up for a day or two. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, you know, let's just be careful. Yeah. Be careful with those. But yeah, most, you know, people don't give credit to the rear, you know, don't, or not credit. They don't give the respect to the rear fang stuff like they should. And, you know, it's eventually going to take somebody getting really, really screwed up by one. And then maybe people are going to start throwing a little credence toward them, you know. I get, yeah, but everybody only assumes the dangerous rear fangs are boom slangs and teletornis and what's the other one?
I'm not even sure. I feel like
boom slangs and teletornis, everybody knows, will end your life. There, and then the thrasops, which there's not a whole bunch of those floating around over here in the United States, they're very closely related to boom slings. I've read a bite report from one of those, somebody getting bit by one of those, and it did seem like a fun day.
Yeah. It almost seems like it's very person-to-person dependent, and it's just a matter of if you find out if you're reactive or not, which is unfortunate that that's the way it is, you know?
Yeah. And then you have, you know, people on Instagram taking bites from various rear fang species to show the reaction so they can get, you know, 120,000 likes.
Yep. Yeah. Now, I am curious when it comes to, so you do have this group of, you know, some of these like African snakes and a little more arid stuff, and then you also have these North American animals, and let's throw like the Baranai in there per se. What is your care difference? Do you have multiple like snake rooms, or are you just keeping everything like pretty enclosure specific in terms of environments and whatnot? Oh no! Did I lose you?
There's different rooms for different biotopes of animals.
Okay. Gotcha. That definitely helps. Because, you know, I know I was talking to Bill last week asking about, like, you know, how he keeps his desert stuff. And, you know, I'm pretty sure he's got his North American animals, like, relatively in the same room. They're just given a bit more humidity options. But, yeah, having two snake rooms so you can keep, you know, those different groups of snakes definitely is a big help.
You hear me?
Yeah, now I can. Are we lagging bad?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can now.
Okay. All right. I think it's a multiple of you. Yeah, you're coming through on like a, or I'm coming through to you on a delay, and then I think you're lagging at the same time, which isn't helping it. But yeah, but that's fine. I think we're good.
All right. We seem to be caught up now.
Okay. Okay. Cool. All right, so, yeah, some other stuff I also saw, a little bit of a dip into the Asian rat snakes. I saw a blue beauty on there. I think you just like snakes that are assholes. Is that kind of your thing?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. I do. I enjoy snakes that make my life harder than it should be.
Yeah.
You know, I should have been breeding blue beauties this year, but when my ex-wife moved out, she took the female, so I just have this male. Ouch. And now I have to find me another female to grow up for him. But yeah, he's an asshole. He bites me most of the time too.
All right. Well, that's the roll call. If anyone has an adult female blue beauty, hit up Keller, and his Instagram's in the description. So hit up Keller. No, but the blue beauties are super cool. That's one of the, I'd say it's one of the first Asian rat snakes I got a chance to see just like on YouTube or whatever when I was researching them. And I was just like, oh my God, these snakes are huge, they're cool, but then I also hear that they're bitey. I haven't had the pleasure of interacting with like a large one. I've held a baby before, but man, it's just such a cool species. I'd really love to interact with an adult eventually, especially if I don't keep one. I definitely need to check, you know, someone's out. So I'd like to see a true adult blue beauty that's like a good
you need to keep one, because that's literally one of the snakes that you can feed it and watch it grow.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, yeah, every time I've always feed one, it looks like it adds another inch to it.
Yeah, I've always been on the fence about them. I don't know. And I've just never I've never made the jump on adding them. And especially nowadays, just with space and the species I'm working with. At this point, I'm trying to like lock down on the stuff I am keeping and like add on to my group. But eventually I'll be back in the realm to add brand new stuff. It'll happen.
would recommend it. It's a very fun species to keep, as long as you don't like getting bit, as long as you don't mind getting bitten. But like I said, yeah. I mean, like you buy one as a baby, and like every time you feed it, it adds another 2 or 3 inches worth of length to it. They grow so fast. And then it's like, you know, they can get 9, 10, 11 feet long, whatever it is. You know, big, impressive snake that looks like, you know, gunmetal blue. You know, sits there and, you know, does the whole, you know, S's up and gapes at you and all that shit. Fun snakes.
Yeah, I think that is something that's cool. You know, what you kind of just mentioned, that is something that's cool about the larger Asian colubrid species. It's because we don't see a lot of that, because there just aren't a lot of colubrids that get up to that size. Well, there's some, but not a whole lot. But, like, you know, they start real small. And they just start growing. And then you really get to see that animal put on size. And, you know, I've seen... who was it? Billy came on like the second episode, Billy Hunt. And he showed like how his one blue beauty wrapped itself all the way into this small little hide. But like, you don't realize how big that snake is, or how, you know, how small of a space it could wrap itself into. It's just super cool.
Yeah. They're one of those snakes that you don't realize how big it is until you actually start trying to take it out of something. And like, well, you know, I've got the tail, I'm still pulling the tail out. Here comes the mid body. We still got, you know, 3 more feet of these. Here comes the head, you know, and it's like, oh, you know, this snake took it ain't long enough to keep this thing away from biting me. You know, let's just hope it decides not to bite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that, but yeah, hold on. Let me bring this guy.
Yeah, up okay. Here.
You just posted a reel.
Got a, where as he was getting bitten.
I think there was another one of that guy, but that's fine. Let's see. And then, you know, this is the one you mentioned before, Speckled King. So this is your top. This is your top Getula. Oh no! Did we lose him?
Pardon?
Oh, I was saying the speckleds. This, like you said before, so this is your top Getula. You there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. All right. So, the Speckled Kings. It's not really a species I've gotten a chance to really check out a whole lot, but you're saying it's the top Getula?
It's the superior king snake, in my opinion. You know, give me one second. Okay, I'll be right back. I'm back. Maybe that'll help.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you good now.
But yeah, speckled king snakes are the superior king snake. That is, in my opinion, the coolest king snake on the planet. I'll probably try that pair that I have next year.
Okay. Very nice. Yeah. So I assume you want to fight Nisarg every time he says that the Mexicana are superior. Do you see him when he goes on his King Snake?
Nisarg doesn't understand that. Nisarg doesn't understand what's coming his way. He thinks he can avoid it. He's going to get the full killer experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he...
He thinks he can avoid it.
Yeah. All right. Keller, do you have any interest in coming to Colubrifest this year? Is that something you potentially want to do?
Yeah, I would like to. I'm going to try to. I can't make no guarantees with it being the month after Daytona, but I would love to go to it. You know, you said, you know, majority of this collection that's here is Colubrids, and a Colubrid only show is very, very appealing. So I'm going to try. I'm going to see, try to make it work, but that, you know, being a month after Daytona, that's kind of hard because like Daytona. I've got to ruin people's lives in Daytona.
Yeah.
I've got more booty cheeks to grab in Daytona.
There it is. There it is. All right. Cool, man. But
I heard you got real panicked when you got your booty cheeks grabbed.
I don't... Panicked, I don't know. I was not having a good time that night either. I had like the worst headache.
Do what
that
now?
Night. I said I had the worst headache that night. I was just not enjoying my, like I was just sitting there and trying to like grunt through it because I wanted to hang out with you guys, but I was having a rough night. All right, man. Well, to kind of get into some of the wrap-up questions here, you know, one of the first ones I asked, like, what's a big motivator for what keeps you going with the reptiles? Because, you know, you've been doing this for a long time. You've been keeping, you know, for a long period of time. But what is it that keeps you really passionate about the snakes and the species that you're really working with?
It just, one of those things that just always gives me, you know, like I know it just makes me happy. You know, the research behind it, you know, when I get, you know, the times to sit and watch stuff, do stuff, you know, watch natural behaviors, you know, watch them, you know, be pissed that they can see me. you know, all that shit or whatever. It's just like I said, it's something I've been doing for literally as long as I've been alive. So right. I'm going to do it until I can't do it no more. And then, yeah. You know, now, you know, with the addition of social media, even though I do believe that social media, you know, so I always get to see what they're messing with, stuff that they're doing. We can bounce ideas off of each other, you know, about certain things.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So, like I said, you know, as long as I can continue to do it, I'll do it. But
very nice.
As I'm getting older,
and,
I know some things are going to wind up having to get phased out.
Right. Right.
But not yet. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to keep grinding. Nice, man.
Hell yeah. And I meant to ask you, because you're very much like, oh, is he gone? Oh no. He dropped off. I had more questions. Oh man, I feel bad because this, obviously these technical difficulties are holding us back a little bit. I assume this is not going to be fun for audio listeners, but it is what it is. I'm making it work. You back?
Are we back?
All right. Yeah, I think so. One thing I was going to ask you, because you're very much like a hobby guy, you know, you don't have
supposedly,
like,
I thought I was paying for the best internet that was off.
Wait, what was that?
See, I thought I was supposedly paying for the best internet that I can get in my area, but apparently it's fucking not.
Yeah. It's all good, man. It is what it is. I wanted to ask you because, you know, you're very much a hobby guy. You don't have, you know, the logo and stuff. And like, you post sparingly on social media, which is all well and good. Where are you, you know, selling a lot of your offspring? Is it like local to people, you know? Is it like to pet shops or like what's your kind of method there? I'd guess with some of like, you know, the stuff like the bear and I, that has a little more attention, and I'm sure people are kind of asking you for them, but what's your general approach to selling some animals?
Repeat that.
Like what's your approach to selling some of your production and stuff?
Talking about selling animals?
Yeah, like your production.
For the most part, when I produce animals, I'll generally just try to wholesale them to a local pet store because I don't like dealing with people, and I don't like doing the whole, you know, back and forth. Let's haggle and negotiate and crap like that or whatever. But if I have stuff that you want, just message me on my Instagram page. you know, or if you're interested in stuff that I'm working with, I can, you know, I'll let you know what I have. Yeah, but like I said, as far as like selling shit, I just don't want to deal with people. So if you live close enough to me, you know, I don't have a problem driving to meet you. If you're a friend of mine, you know, there's probably a good chance that I'll just send the shit to you as long as you pay for shipping.
Nice.
You know, if there's something that you want, you know, I don't have to, you know, I work a real job. I work, you know, several hours, you know, or work, you know, several hours every day, more hours than I should be working. So I don't need, you know, these animals don't necessarily have to pay for themselves. It'd be nice if more of them did pay for themselves. It's not anything that actually has to fucking happen. But like I said, you know, for the most part, especially like the, you know, more routine, you know, the more hobby staples like the, you know, the California king snakes, the leucistic Texas rat snakes, stuff like that. They're like, there isn't really a great demand for, because, you know, a bunch of other people are doing the same shit. You know, I'll just call up a local pet store and be like, hey, you know, I've got X number of snakes. If you want to buy all of them, I'll sell them to you for, you know, however much.
Gotcha.
Or I'll just send some shit to, you know, call my friend up, like, hey, you want any of these? Yeah, okay, well, here, take three of them. Here's a trio. You know, crap like that. You know, you know, they do the same stuff with me. You know, me and Chris Payne Shop have swapped a few things back and forth. You know, nice. So he'll send, you know, he'll ask me if I want anything. I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, you want any of this stuff? And he'll be like, oh, I'll take these, or no, I'm not interested in that, or whatever. And then I'll make fun of him for not being interested in what I have. And, you know, we go on about our lives.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Now, what does the future look like for you? Would you say in like the next 3 to 5 years or so, are there any species that like you really want to add to the collection? What would you say that looks like for you?
That's hard to say. I don't really want to add anything. I've got a few snakes coming in sometime here in the next couple of weeks, whenever my buddy gets the opportunity to, whenever me and him get the opportunity to meet up. I kind of want to close adding anything to here. I do want to, once I get through brumating stuff, I'm going to try to purge some things because there's just too much shit over here. Gotcha. You know, when it's all said and done, there's just too much shit over here. There's always stuff that will interest me. There's always stuff that, with, you know, if the opportunity arises to get a group of them, or, you know, to get, you know, a few animals that, you know, that, yeah, I would 100% add them to the collection. But considering the stuff that I would 100% add to the collection, no questions asked, nobody else wants to keep, you know, like Teletornis, you know, like if I knew I could at least get, way healthy group of those, that at least long enough to where I could get a few, you know, get the time to try converting them onto rodents, or figuring out what I need to do to keep them fed, because they're primarily like chameleon eaters. That's why they have those keyhole shaped, you know, keyhole shaped pupils or whatever. You know, they're primarily lizard and reptile feeders or whatever, but that, in my opinion, is one of the coolest snakes, if not the coolest snake on the planet. But, you know, nobody over here, actually nobody, really nobody that really into reptiles cares to keep them, because they're, you know, one of, if not the most deadly rear fanged snake, and they don't want to eat mammals. You know, they won't, you know, they're predominantly reptile feeders with the occasional bird thrown in, but that's just, in my opinion, is just a extremely cool snake. But if I could get my hands on some of those, it would at least, you know, halfway give me the opportunity to try to mess around and figure out what I need to do, or, you know, various ways, you know, of sourcing food or trying to get it converted. They'd 100%, I'd clear out probably half this collection for two or three of those or whatever. Okay. Like I said, that's gotcha. One of my favorite snakes, if not my favorite snake. It flips between those and Mang Shan vipers, just depending on the day. There's, I don't know if you know what the toad head of the Gama is, but I love that species of lizard. There's only a couple of people here in the United States that I'm aware of that work with them. And they're not cheap when they do produce them. But I like those. Like I said, some other, there's some other colubrids that I'd add in here. When I'm thinking about what I might add in here, what I'm not going to add in here, I have to look at the space that it's going to take, you know, the amount of food that it's going to take. Like, I love Pitias carinata, that whole thing, but it's like, that's a big ass colubrid that's going to eat a lot and it's going to shit a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like, how many more of those, how many more high metabolism colubrids do I really want to add to the collection? Because right now there's way too many over here. Like I said, the Barron's racers, there's bull snakes, there's Vietnamese blue beauty. You know, you're talking about snakes that you feed at once and then it might, you know, crap two or three times, and then it's going to crap again when you take it out to clean the cage, and then it's going to crap again when you put it back in the cage. You know, stuff like
that's
that.
That's how I'd say most, like pretty much all the colubrids I keep, they're feed once, poop twice.
Yeah.
That's how they work.
Yeah, pretty much. And then they poop again when you're trying to handle them, and then they poop again when you put them back in the cage.
And then they poop again when you fully clean the cage. When you do a full, nice clean. Guaranteed to poop in it.
I just got, you know, I don't have any cane breaks over here, but I did just buy a bunch of cages from off a friend of mine. And there's one cage in particular that when I'm looking at it, I'm like, you know what? A cane break would look really nice in that. You haven't had a cane break in a while, Jason, so let's add another thing to your life that's going to make it more problematic. So, that'll probably, we might try to do that if I can get out somewhere and find me a nice cane break.
Nice. But,
like I said, the biggest thing that I really do want to focus in on, though, is pygmy rattlesnakes, because I just...
Cool.
Like I said, that was the first venomous snake I've kept. It's one of my favorite venomous snakes that I've kept. And like I said, I've been, you know, trying to put together a group. I've spent who knows how much gas mileage riding up and down the road where the snakes don't hang out at, because my friend couldn't tell me the proper fucking address. Or not proper address, proper street.
Yeah.
You know.
No, but those are nice snakes, man. So, yeah, I definitely think something you should work on. That'd be cool.
And then, I don't know, I may at some point add some rhino rats, because even though I do talk shit about them. Even though I do talk shit about them, they are pretty cool.
Yeah.
They're not cool, but they're not as cool as Barons.
A little birdie told me Justin's got some that are ready to go.
Yeah, Justin, for whatever reason, has hate in his heart for me.
But, yeah, man. All right, awesome. Kind of like my last and final question here for everyone is... what would you say to someone who's looking to get into any of the species you keep? Let's stick with the colubrids. whether they're a brand new reptile keeper or, you know, they're a, like a python or boa keeper and they're looking to jump into their first colubrid. Like, what's your elevator pitch for why colubrids? Why should they get into these snakes?
Even outside of the species I keep or whatever, just colubrids in general, you know, like that, you know, the large majority of them, I mean, they come in all colors of the rainbow, you know, none of them, even the extremely long ones are ones that I would consider get to a size that is unmanageable. A, you know, a 10-foot Vietnamese blue beauty is not nearly the same thing as a 10-foot green anaconda. You know, you can still, you know, you can still put one of those in a, you know, modestly sized cage, and you know, they're not going to be like, you know, if you put a 10-foot green anaconda in a 6-foot cage, it's going to touch three sides of the cage anytime it coils up. You know, like, right, a 10-foot Vietnamese blue beauty in a 6-foot cage still has plenty of room to move around, but a large majority of them are very alert because colubrids are active predators. So they're always out looking for food. You know, they're all whatever. All mine, all the colubrids that I have, like when I'm down in my, in the various snake rooms that are around here, you know, they know, like, I won't necessarily say they know, but like they recognize when I'm just in there doing checks or whatever, turning lights on, off, looking around, whatever, and stuff like that, or when I'm in there actually doing feedings. You know, when I'm doing feedings, every one of them's at, you know, the front of the glass or at the front of the tub or whatever. They're waiting on that mouse to come in. You know, they're waiting on mouse or rat to come in. You know, and they're just, as far as if you want a snake that's going to actually be doing something more than is not doing something, because, you know, I know everybody wants to shit on ball pythons because it's a low hanging fruit, but, you know, ball python as a pet rock, you know, where it's sitting at today is where it's going to be sitting at tomorrow, is where it's going to be sitting at the next day, where it might be sitting at 2 or 3 weeks from now.
Yeah.
You know, even, you know, that's same thing with most pit vipers, where it's sitting there is where it's going to be sitting until you feed it again or until it has a bowel movement. But colubrids are going to be moving, like my barons, you know, whenever I go into the snake room where the barons are at, you know, they're at the front, they're at the front of the glass of their cage. They're waiting. They want to see what I'm doing. You know, I've got a couple of garter snakes, you know, they're, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you fixing the feed? It's whatever. I've got Russian rat snakes. You know, when I go in there, they're, you know, when I'm messing with them, when I'm out moving stuff around in the snake room, they're like, you know, what's going on? What are you doing? What are you doing? So if you want a snake that is going to actually be doing something and moving around and is, you know, literally going to make use of every bit of square footage and whatever kind of cage that you're keeping it in, it's going to be a colubrid. You know, they're going to move around. They're going to be looking around, looking for, you know, food, looking to see what you're doing. They're just a much more interactive snake, so to speak.
Right. Yeah, I agree, man. It's the truth. They are. All right. Well, Keller,
Let me get my controversial.
Go for it.
Let me get my controversial. It's out of the way. Emerald tree boas are better than green tree python.
Okay. Right when he says it's controversial, he starts lagging. Damn it.
we back again? Did you hear me?
I think so. I heard emeralds are better than chondros. I don't know if you said more than that.
Okay. Emerald tree boas are better than chondros. Barons racers are better than rhino rats. Speckled king snakes are superior king snake. Texas rats are better than corn snakes. The end.
I definitely agree with the last one. Texas rats are better than corns. Amen. You heard it here first. This is a Texas rat podcast. But Keller, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry we had the technical difficulties we had. Hopefully eventually I'll bring you back on and maybe we won't have these troubles, but I do appreciate you coming on. Like I said, I appreciate the conversation we had at Daytona. It was great meeting you there. Great to talk to you again. I'm not sure that I'll be at Daytona this year. It's probably not for me, but I hope to see you at Kluberfest, hopefully, because that I'm definitely going to. But thanks again, man. Thanks for coming on.
Don't be a bitch.
No, it's not. It's not that. It's just. It's the fact that I'm moving, and I'm not going to be in the area. Oh man. All right. I'll find out what he said after. All right, guys. I hope you all enjoyed this episode of the Kluber Corruption Podcast. This was episode number 52 with Jason Keller. Guys, if you're still watching or listening, please remember to leave a like on today's video. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give us a 5-star review on the major audio platforms. Check out the Meteor Serpents Patreon linked below. First link in the description. Yeah, and thank you to Show Me Reptiles for sponsoring the show. Hope you all have a great night, the rest of your weekend, whenever you're listening to this. And I will catch you guys next week. Peace out.